WSFI, 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, presents The Voice of Nineveh with Juliana Tamirazi, founder and president of the Iraqi Christian Relief Council. Call now with your questions, 224-585-9734. That's 224-585-9734.
Once again with you, from Voice of Nineveh. It is so I'm so happy to be back here with my co-host, my co-pilot, Tom O'Connor. Hi, Tom.
Hey, hi, Juliana. Happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter to you. How was your Easter?
It was wonderful. How about yourself?
It was good. I was stationed in one place for a change. I spent some really quality time with my uncle and my aunt who are visiting from Iran. And also with my mom, obviously. And it was wonderful.
And didn't you also have a family member who recently died, Requiesca Nampache?
Yes, thank you. My aunt, who was a very big Christian, passed away last week. 2 weeks ago, actually. Thank you so much for talking about her. She lived up north in the northern part of Chicago, in Gurnee, actually. And she used to go to this Orthodox church, this Russian Orthodox church, and she in her neighborhood, and she used to pray. I remember she would make her hands look like she was begging, and she would go from corner to corner in this church, praying for the persecuted church, praying for her family, praying for me. And really, I really believe it is her prayers, among others, but it is especially her prayers that have led me through and have protected me thus far.
Well, one of our great friends, Father John Ricchetta from Kenosha, is a very dear friend, and he offered up the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass for her soul this past week. So all we can say is Requiesca Nampache. But it's interesting, she's holding her hands and praying for persecuted Christians, and you're carrying on her legacy. As you know, I'm a big fan of a publication called Inside the Vatican, and in the March issue, there is an article there about Pope Francis' visit to Mexico. And in his interview with the press, he brings out the name of a city which you may be familiar with, the Nineveh. And in it, he says in part, they are the Christians, are cannon fodder, persecuted and threatened when they try to flee the spiral of violence and the hell of drugs. Then there are the many women unjustly robbed of their lives. Let us together ask our God for the gift of conversion, the gift of tears. Let us ask him to give us open hearts like the Ninevites. You're familiar with the Ninevites. Why don't you tell your audience and us a little bit about the Ninevites for our own edification?
Of course, and the program is called The Voice of Nineveh. Assyrians, who are also known as Chaldeans and Syriacs throughout the world, are the children of the same Ninevites that repented to the Hebrew God. Although Jonah was refusing to go to Nineveh, where today you know where it is, right, Tom?
Yes, indeed.
Where is it at? It's in Mosul. So Nineveh is today's Mosul, and for the first time in 2,000 years, Holy Mass has not been celebrated starting June of 2014 in Mosul, and a lot of our ancient churches have been destroyed. But going back to the Ninevites, we have paid a heavy, heavy price for being Christians starting the rise of Islam 14 centuries ago. So what you see ISIS doing today is exactly what Islamists did back then, according to their creed. In the Quran. And it is interesting when I make my way through different churches here in the States, when I introduce myself as a child of Nineveh or a daughter of Nineveh, you see the shocked faces. And it's amazing to see that because they put the pieces together. Iraq truly is a second Holy Land, as Robert Nicholson of Philos Project calls it, because Jonah was buried there. Daniel, Nahum, Tomb of Nahum is in a city called Al-Kosh, which you know, Assyrians have protected for all these centuries the bones of the prophet. So Nineveh has a lot of meaning, but for me personally, it has a special meaning because being a Ninevite myself, being a Christian, a Catholic myself, seeing my people being torn apart physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, it's really difficult for me to witness.
You know, these readings about what happened in Nineveh and with Jonah not wanting to go there and goes there, and the leader of the people at that time, of course, says, "Oh my gosh, you know, let's do this. We have to go and do penance and walk around in sackcloth and ashes." And in fact, he did bring his people to their knees. Do you think that incident, which took place some 700 years before the birth of Christ, is that possible in modern day times, that a whole people like the United States of America get on their knees and do penance in a world that we live in?
That's a very good question. And often we do think about that. I talk about that often. Why is it that we don't pray collectively for rain, for example? Why do we not fast and such things? I don't know, Tom. That's a very good question. Because for a long time, I used to call Franklin Graham, Jonah, the modern-day Jonah. But a lot of people disagreed with me, saying that, no, he is not. We really need a modern-day Jonah that would lead all of us back to him. And it's let's just take in today's day and age. It is back then what Nineveh was as though somebody rises and goes to the enemy territory, in the heart of the enemy territory, and say, "You must repent." That's why Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh, because it was, I don't want to compare Ninevites to ISIS, believe me, because I'm a Ninevite and I'm being persecuted. My people are persecuted for their faith, but it's as though you take somebody, a Christian, and put him in the heart of ISIS and say, "Go evangelize to these ISIS members and have them repent from their evil ways." Because back then, Ninevites were doing their evil ways. But the important thing is that they turned around from their evil ways. They repented. They fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And it's important for everyone to know that till today, the one thing that binds us, the Assyrians, the Armenians, the Ethiopians, the Copts, we all honor Jonah's fast. So early every year, usually it happens at the end of January or early February, we still fast for 3 days and three nights, and we honor the fast of Jonah.
Yeah, of course, the people in America are not used to fasting, and we all know that. One follow-up thought to your idea here about Jonah. My question seems to be, how come we can't have more Davids? I mean, how about David? He took on the Philistine and those guys, and all he needed was a couple of stones. But it's interesting, in another part of this magazine, there is an interview with the Patriarch of Moscow and all Russia. His name is Patriarch Kirill. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. But in it, he says, "Today, many Christians are being killed in the Middle East, in Africa. Their churches and monasteries are being destroyed. And whole settlements and towns of believers are being exterminated. All the while, the global community has been unable to work out joint approaches on how to combat terrorism," he says. Well, you recently were present in a situation where our current Secretary of State, Mr. Kerry, delivered a short, brief address in defending, what the Patriarch is talking about here, and I believe you were present. Can you tell us a little bit about that event?
Sure. For the last few months, the State Department has been talking about whether this mass killing by ISIS is a genocide against the Yazidis or not. Tom, the Yazidis are another minority group in Iraq. Their religion is a closed religion, and they cannot convert. We cannot convert into it. And the Yazidi religion is a form of it is part Christianity, part Islam, but mostly Zoroastrianism. And Zoroastrian religion is a prehistoric, pre-Christian faith, Persian one. The reason I'm painting that picture for you. So for a long time, the administration was trying to push down our Christian throats that this is not a Christian genocide. Why? Because the Yazidis were given two options, to convert to Islam or to die. And for a long time, the administration was saying, no, the jizya, which is a tax, protection tax that Muslims offer to non-Muslims during war, was offered to Christians. And we kept on, for a long time, we as activists believed the same, that jizya was offered. But in fact, after doing enough research, we found out that in almost all cases, jizya was not offered. And if it was offered, it was so expensive and it was so hefty to tax that people couldn't pay. For example, an ISIS member went to Mosul and demanded a certain amount of, amount of kilograms of gold from the family. And the father knew, and they knew, everybody knew that this family is a poor family. So what they did was they weighed the daughter and they took the daughter, the child, because her weight was equal to the amount of gold that they were asking for. So that is a sort of jizya. If it was offered, it was offered in that fashion. So we, the organization I work for, the Philos Project, brought in this pro bono but very reputable international human rights law firm, who did this very eloquent paper. And you can read this paper, and I would encourage everybody to read this paper. It's a report of 37 pages that was submitted to Senator Kerry. Secretary Kerry. And you can view this report online on victimsofisis.org. Victimsofisis.org. Please take a moment and read through this, because I, as an activist, I've lived through this for 8.5 years. I've watched the videos, I've looked at the pictures, and I've heard the stories. I learned things from this document. So on the 17th of March, we were very happy to hear Secretary Kerry announced that this also is a Christian genocide. I'll tell you something else, though. The Assyrian community worldwide was a little bit disappointed in him, because he mentioned everybody by their ethnic and religious name. But he only mentioned us as an ethnic group, as a religious group. He only said Christian, even though we're Assyrian, Chaldeans, and Syriacs. He didn't mention us by name, but to me, I'm usually an optimist. To me, it's great, because the Armenian genocide is still not recognized after all these years as a genocide. This was a win for us. And I can talk more in depth about what that all entailed, but we spent many, many sleepless nights making sure that the document that was created by this human rights organization, this law firm, which is called Andrews Kurth, based in Texas, Houston, for them to do an eloquent job. In fact, the ambassador, one of the ambassadors, ambassador to religious freedom in the State Department, told us that that document persuaded Secretary Kerry to make that decision.
Thank you, Juliana. I just have one follow-up question to that. You were kind enough to send me a link to the video, which I watched. I couldn't help but think afterwards, after I listened to your remarks, there seemed to be a minimum of 50 people. Was that held in a State Department building or of some kind?
It was in the State Department. We weren't there. We weren't present physically. We were in Washington.
Oh, I see.
Because we had a meeting that Thursday anyway.
Okay.
But we were in Washington, D.C., and it was fantastic. We actually got a text message at 4:30 in the morning telling us that Secretary Kerry, I tell you how old I am, I guess.
Well, he was a senator, so
yeah.
That's okay.
So Secretary Kerry is going to announce that this is going to be a Christian genocide. So we were up at 4:30 in the morning celebrating.
I know that you were doing an awful lot of backdrop work in that for weeks and months at a time, but my question afterwards, was there anybody in that room that you came up to you afterwards and seemed to really care that this was done?
Oh, you're talking about the video?
Yes.
That I sent you. Okay. Yes. So that video that I sent you was from the week before.
Okay.
I offered my testimony at an event that IDC, in Defense of Christians and Knights of Columbus, had put together at the National Press Club in Washington.
Okay.
You're right. There were about 50, 60 people there. There were about 10, 8 people on the panel. Yeah, a lot of people approached us, a lot of people talked to us, and a lot of people were asking us, what do you think? Do you think this is going to be passed by Secretary Kerry? And we were very pessimistic, even though I'm an optimistic just 2 minutes ago, I just told you. But in this case, we were not sure if he was going to do it. So we had lowered our expectations prayerfully, if you will. That's why it was such a big win for us.
Well, St. Patrick still packs a little weight, apparently, because it happened on March 17th.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So just to let our listeners know, the phone number, if you'd like to call, our phone number is 224-585-9734. 224-585-9734. And just to remind you that this program is a special live webcast on WSFIradio.org and also on TuneIn Radio.
Okay, Julia, thank you. There's another little story about our Holy Father, Pope Francis. In the month of February, on Sunday the 7th, he made a major appeal during the Angelus. And he said as follows, "I follow with deep concern the dramatic fate of civilian populations involved in heavy fighting in their beloved Syria and who are forced to leave everything behind in order to escape the horrors of war," the Pope said to crowds which almost filled St. Peter's Square. In a wide-ranging post-Angelus address, the Pope expressed his hope that with generous solidarity, the Syrian people might receive the help they need to ensure their survival and dignity. I wonder why he chose only Syria at that moment in time. If you can recall the beginning of February, was there something special at Syria? I mean, what's been different in Syria that's been going on in both Iraq and Iran?
I think it saddens me to see the world be so consumed only with Syria, although Syria absolutely has suffered tremendously in the hands of the rebels and ISIS and some bombings from Assad. But we cannot forget about Iraq, because Iraq's plight has been going on since 2003, when nobody was paying attention. We were knocking on doors, begging pastors and priests to let us talk to congregations and parish families and asking them to allow us to do a fundraising, several fundraising events for these poor people. Because if you go back in 2003, there were 1.6 million Assyrian Christians in Iraq. Today, we merely have 250,000 left. So the atrocities that happened in Syria was initially began because of a rebellion against Assad, because of the Arab Rising, Arab Spring. But in Iraq, they were specifically targeted. Christians were specifically targeted because they were Christian. So in the beginning, when Syria war had begun, civil war, it was not directly, they weren't attacking Christians. Later on, it formed as, you know, let's kill these Christians, let's destroy their monuments, and let's destroy their churches. But from the beginning, Iraq started with this anti-religious group. And you know what? When people say ISIS, ISIS was formed in 2014, that's all incorrect. Because ISIS was under the name of ISI, Islamic State of Iraq. Very active in 2005 and 2006 in Iraq. And Osama bin Laden had said, we're going to turn Iraq into an Islamic state. So I wish that the world powers, non-governmental organizations, and the Pope would pay a little bit more attention to the plight of Christians of Iraq that have been devastated, that have been displaced over and over again. I'll tell you, those who could afford fleeing Iraq, Baghdad, Basra, Mosul, they fled to Syria, to Damascus, and to other cities, Hasaka. And then they were attacked there, starting 2013 and 12 and 14. So these people have been displaced over and over and over again.
Why don't they go and seek asylum in Saudi Arabia? I mean, Saudi Arabia seems to have a vast territory. And
you're talking about Muslims?
Yes.
That is the question that we've been raising for the last 8 months. Why is it that Muslim refugees from Syria are flooding Europe and wanting to come to America when they can go to a country that has the same religion and their culture is fairly similar?
Yes.
No.
Environment similar.
Exactly. No, they're not. They're not coming. They're not going there. 224-585-9734. 225-585-9734. Please give us a call and ask your questions online.
I am Bishop Alberto Rojas, one of the auxiliary bishops in Chicago. Anything that has to do to bring in the message of salvation, bring in the message of Jesus in any way, but especially through the radio, through the media today, as we advance, how media has evolved so fast, not only through the radio, but through all kinds of ways, especially with the computers and phones, and this is unbelievable. I think it's very important that we use these means of communication to also bring the message of salvation, the message of Jesus through the world.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at wsfiradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
Did you know that you can listen to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio from anywhere in the world? Our live internet stream is available at wsfiradio.org. Just click on Listen Live. We also stream on the TuneIn mobile app for your smartphone or tablet. For iPhone and iPad users, visit the App Store, download the TuneIn app, sign up for a free account, and then search for WSFI. Click Follow to add us to your profile. For Android users, visit the Google Play Store, download the TuneIn app, sign up for a free account, and then search for WSFI. Click Follow to add us to your profile. Need help? Call us at 224-206-8455. That's 224-206-8455.
Friends, welcome back to Voice of Nineveh. We're streaming live right now, and our phone number is 224-585-9734. 224-585-9734. Please give us a call. This is your opportunity to have your questions answered. This is a global war, as we all witnessed. Brussels came under attack, heavy attack. 4 precious American lives were lost. Please feel free to give us a call back, and we'll be happy to try to answer your questions. Tom, earlier during the break, we were talking about the American Christian culture and it's receiving this plight.
Yeah, the American culture, as I understand it and live it today, is so much concerned with current elections and who's going to win and who's not going to win and why, et cetera, et cetera. But I wonder if we could go back to your own mission that our Lord seems to have picked you to do for him, and that is your work for your Syrian brothers and sisters, especially those that are still present in this war-torn area of the Middle East. What difference is there, do you see, between present-day times in, say, 10, 12 years ago? What major differences are there from your own vision and your own sight?
I think one major difference is, and I think it was brought on by ISIS, ISIS's atrocities is that the world is starting to pay more attention, especially America. America is starting to pay attention. We started raising a lot of funds in August, starting August of 2014. Why? Because of the Yazidis that were trapped on a mountain. So people, those images really shook people. We started the ministry after speaking to Cardinal George in 2007. This genocide that is being committed has been going on since 2003 against the Christians of Iraq. And a lot of people were silent. Almost everyone in the United States was silent. When I would knock on churches' doors, they would say, we're not interested, or I would not get any calls. I couldn't get anybody to call me back to hear about this. So that has changed today. For example, Knights of Columbus is involved. In fact, Knights of Columbus put together a very comprehensive 300-page document that they submitted to the State Department along with what we put together. So they've been applying a lot of pressure. They've been doing some charity work as well on the ground. I haven't seen what exactly they have done since I just came back from Iraq last month. But I know that they've been raising money and they've been sending it to the Middle East. The important thing for us to keep in mind is just because we don't hear about these things on the news, just because newspapers don't write about it, it doesn't mean it's gone away. I'll give you an example. So about 3 days ago, 4 days ago, we heard that the Iraqi military launched an assault on ISIS in small villages outside Mosul, about 50 kilometers away from Mosul, trying to reclaim, take back Mosul. Just before the radio, before our show this afternoon, I received a text message from Iraq from my sources telling me that those nine villages that they had taken back, the Iraqi military had taken back, they lost them today.
Wow.
So ISIS launched an attack on American-trained Iraqi military with their American weapons, and they lost 8 of the 9 villages. That breaks my heart, because we were really hoping by liberating Mosul, we'll be able to liberate the Nineveh Plain, our ancestral homeland, so we can start rebuilding these people's lives.
Well, as a former vet, it doesn't surprise me what happened here. You're using weapons that we left behind and no longer are helping the people. But, you know, you mentioned Cardinal George helping you going back to maybe 07. You know, Cardinal George's anniversary of his death is coming up April 17th of last year. And so we're going to honor him on April the 16th. But, you know, here's a man who has done so much good in his lifetime, and he traveled extensively over in the Middle East. So I can see where he picked you and asked you to go about and helped you and supported you at the very beginning, because you obviously have a natural talent for doing what you do. So what can the people of the United States do when the Cardinal Georges of the world are dead? And there, I don't see any live Davids personally.
Why do you think that is? You asked me that question in the previous segment. I'm going to ask you now.
Why we don't have the Davids? You know, I think our Lord has a plan, and it seems to be that his plan doesn't seem to be sending a Jonah in our midst at this time. He thinks he sent enough Jonahs, perhaps. Perhaps he sent enough Davids. And he's got a plan that says, you know, you people are not listening to me. And here we have our own brothers and sisters in the faith over in Iraq who are dying and giving their lives. We hear all these horror stories. Is prayer enough? I mean, is $1 billion enough money to stop this war? Should we all go on a fast? I mean, what are the answers?
I'm a big believer in fasting, because I remember when we were trying to be, when my father was trying to smuggle his kids out of Iran in 1987, when my brother was smuggled out, they couldn't find the right smuggler for me. So I remember after Easter, my mother said, this is it. I have the solution. We're going to pray for and fast for 2 weeks and see what happens. And on the 13th day, we received a call from a new smuggler that was able to smuggle me out of Iran. So I believe in fasting because, Tom, I think we've lost a reverence for the Lord's authority, for His Almighty, for His Mother, for Jesus' sacrifice. I believe we've lost that reverence. Although the Ninevites back during Jonah's time, they were pagan, but they revered the God that they worshipped. Unfortunately, when I was in Iraq, the Assyrian Christians told me, don't take us out of Iran, out of Iraq, please. If you can help us stay here, help us stay here. Help us rebuild our lives here. One of the interesting things that one of the mothers said to me, she said, I'm afraid of bringing my kids to the West because you guys don't have any reverence for Christianity. She said, look at how we live. We've lost everything, but we refuse to renounce Christ. And you in America, in the West, have such religious freedom and freedom of worship that you don't honor it. And yet here, and I'll tell you, I had tears in my eyes on Palm Sunday at night because we saw on Facebook Christians, Assyrians, walking in the town of El Ghosh in pouring rain, palms in their hands, walking through. Many of them didn't have umbrellas. They were soaking wet, but they walked and they chanted and they sang and they said, we are going to remain Christians forever. And that is the faith that these people have. And I think that is what carries them through.
Years ago, St. John Paul, called a year of faith, and Cardinal Francis George called a year of faith at Soldier Field, where the Chicago Bears play football. And it was a day that never stopped a downpour. I mean, it rained like in buckets like I had not seen before. And Cardinal Francis George carried the tabernacle in both his hands. He walked it from the south end of the field to the north end of the field and placed the tabernacle, the monstrance, on an altar at the north end of the field in pouring rain. There were probably only 20,000 people in the stands. We were totally drenched, but it was such an act of faith in the year of faith. I never forgot it, and I can still think of the rain at that time. Everybody was drenched. Thankfully, it was the middle of summer. But Cardinal Francis George was a man of faith who tried to lead his people, and he did it in so many different ways, and he left so many good people behind him whom I know love him and pray for him and to him every day.
Friends, our number is 224-585-9734. Tom, there is a new documentary that is coming out. It's called The Faith Keepers. I don't know how many of you friends out there have seen this documentary called Honor Diaries. It's on Netflix. It's about eight Muslim women, and I was the only cradle Christian woman there. Nine women in total, talking about the abuses of Muslim men against women. And me being the token cradle Christian, I brought up the fact that this was not a cultural issue, all the abuses that Muslim men inflict on women. In fact, it's a religious issue because of honor killing and genital mutilation of women. And I was attacked on camera by these Muslim women saying, no, this is not our religion. This is cultural. This is Middle Eastern, a Middle Eastern culture, which I don't agree with. My father would never kill me for dating a man. Or my brother would never run me over by his car. That has happened in Arizona. That has happened in Florida here, let alone in the Middle East. But the Clarion Project, the Clarion Fund, has put together this fantastic documentary called Faith Keepers. You can see their trailer on faithkeepersmovie.com, faithkeepersmovie.com. It really highlights the Christian persecution and what these people have gone through. You hear it from them. You hear from a woman who was kidnapped by ISIS. So earlier you asked, what can people do? Educating themselves is extremely critical. By going to victimsofisis.org, victimsofisis.org, you can really see some stories of what has happened. Pray. It's extremely important for you to pray, for all of us to pray. Pray the rosary. the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy, and host vigils. It is very easy to host a vigil, bringing even 10 people. I really call on to our priests to host a vigil. You can go to risevigil.org, risevigil.org, and order this vigil kit that comes in with a fantastic pamphlet that talks about what to pray for and talks about the situation on the ground in Iraq. You can very easily host that. Make a sacrifice. Donate. These people need basic necessities. I was on the air with a radio program called True News, and we raised a great sum of money for children that don't have toys to play. That's really critical for people to get involved financially as well, because Matthew 25 calls us to stand in unity with those who don't have much.
You know, it's interesting that there's an organization called Clarion Call. I mean, Clarion is what kind of a call? It's like a last call. It's like a thunderous call. So formerly I was a teacher at an all-boys high school, and teaching the boys various topics, religion mostly, I tried to impress upon them the importance of treating a female, whether their mother or their daughter, or not daughter, but their sister or grandmother, in with total respect, and tried to giving them little anecdotes and stories about how to do that. And I find, and I've come to believe in my old age, that women can take back our civilization, but it's when they wake up to who they are and what they can do in terms of getting the respect and dignity that they should deserve and have by their God-given right as a human being by God have and should get, and wake up some of us men who are trying to do what is pleasing to God. So I really have a sense of women are more inclined than men to help bring our civilization back to its sanity.
Look at what our Heavenly Mother did, that with all the suffering she went through, and she knew that she would have to go through a great trial of watching her son.
From the moment of Simeon talking to her and telling her she had a cross and a sword will pierce her heart.
Yes, and so how beautiful it would be if we would emulate the Virgin Mary and be more prayerful, be more charitable, be more have the fear of the Lord, and remain always in prayer, and just be gentle and soft. And she's, you know, I sat in our office, I'm happy to say that we finally have acquired an office that was donated to us.
Excellent.
In Evanston. And for 8.5 years, we've worked out of Starbucks and hotel lobbies and people's offices or our own living rooms. And today, finally, my organization has an office because we never wanted to spend the money on rent and overhead. So as I was sitting there, as I was reading something that I had written her, I had written a prayer to our Heavenly Mother. And as I was reading her attributes, I was ashamed, and I said, I wish I could be more like her. And I prayed and I said, please let us Catholic women be more like you, emulate you.
Well, there's a great prayer to Our Lady. It's the Litany of Loreto. And if you want to look at the Litany of Loreto, there's many, many attributes given to her, and it's a great prayer to read every day.
My friends, 224-585-9734 if you'd like to join the conversation.
Past president of the National Family Partnership. I am speaking today for WSFI. It's a wonderful station, and you can catch prayers and talks and information anytime. It's wonderful to hop in the car and be able to turn on that radio and get good Catholic information. So if any of you enjoy and appreciate this, please send your donation, and don't forget to pray for them. We need prayers for the success of this station because we know how important it is.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at WSFIradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
We invite you now to join us in prayer as Juliana Tamarazzi, founder and president of the Iraqi Christian Relief Council, prays the Our Father in Aramaic, the language spoken by Christ.
Shemit Baba Bruno Ruchat Kutcha. Amen. Awund Bishmeya, Netrada, Shmach, Tetemel Kutach, Newe Sawyanach, Ekenad Shmeya, Opera. هولان لخمسم قانا يومانن وشوقلن خوبن اي كنا دا وقتنان شواغن خياوه لا تال نسيونا الا پاسن من بيشا مدودي لخي ملكوتا خيلو تشبخ دل عالم المين وامين بشمد بابا وبرونا وروخت قدشا امين. Welcome back, my friends, to Voice of Nineveh. Our phone number here is 224-585-9734. During the break, there was an article shared with me about Catholic University in Boston trying hijab as a part of Muslim Awareness Week. I guess it's called Hijab Booth. That is a worldwide phenomenon now. How come we don't have a rosary booth or a Christ booth or Bible booth that is caught so that has become so popular throughout the world? Why, Tom, why such anti-Christian sentiment throughout the world, even though they're killing us? Why do you think that is?
Well, aren't we really in the battle for souls at this point? And souls are won and lost every day. I used to teach a course one time and asked the question, how many people die in the United States of America every day? And the numbers range from a million to 20. And the answer is about 6,670 people die every day in the United States from various reasons. But it doesn't include killing babies in the womb nor suicides. So, you know, I wonder whether or not we need a Hollywood filled with really strong Catholic geniuses that can portray virtue the way they used to. There were so many virtuous movies made in our country at one time, musicals like My Fair Lady and Camelot and Oliver and movies like this. Is it possible that we could once again retake Hollywood and perhaps put together movies or screenplays for television that would attract people's attention and spark an interest in virtue once again? Because isn't it really what's lacking is virtue and a belief that there is a God, that we do have to answer for our actions when this life of ours is done? Isn't it really what it comes down to? And isn't it really where people really don't believe there is an afterlife or there are no consequences for our actions? Do you think there's any truth to that?
I think what we're battling is the secularism that and feminism that has swept through our colleges, our high schools, our grammar schools. I think socialism that has come in, Marxism that has come in from the thinkers of Marxism from Germany, late 1800s, early 1900s, that has come into our schools. and has taken God out of our schools, out of our hearts, out of our churches even. I'm going to go on a limb and say, how many churches really have fear of the Lord embedded in their community? So Islam has found a weak spot and has attacked, and they're winning. Let's not fool ourselves. Muslim propaganda in this country and in Europe is winning. They're killing us. They're massacring us. They're killing their own. There are more Muslims that are killed today than Christians even in the Middle East, simply because the number is much larger of Muslims. But nonetheless, we see all these atrocities, beheadings, and blowing up people, the churches, the mosques, the bazaars, and yet we're unmoved. We're unmoved because we've become desensitized. We've become robots. We've become with people without any feelings. We bury ourselves in our phones. We don't pick up the phone and greet each other anymore. We have to send text messages as Easter greetings, and I'm guilty of that myself. Our television programs are so bloodied that when we see a real human being get beheaded, we don't flinch. I remember when Daniel Pearl was beheaded. I recall that very vividly, that people were outraged and horrified. But today, it's become just a second nature to us, unfortunately, that it does happen. So what are we going to do about it?
Well, it seems like we both recognize an awful lot of our sins, and they're right in front of our faces. So the virtue of hope is a virtue that comes to the forefront. We just celebrated Easter a couple of days ago, and Easter is the season of hope. Alleluia, alleluia. Let us rejoice and be glad. Christ is one, and Christ is with us again. So this constant appeal to hope, there is Our Lady of Hope, and it seems to this person that we have to somehow or another rejuvenate the virtue of hope once again, and we have to do it through our academia, our universities, our colleges, hopefully beginning with our Catholic institutions in our grammar schools, Catholic grammar schools. Cardinal Francis George was very humble and proud of the idea that he visited every parish in his jurisdiction in both Cook and Lake counties, and tried to inspire the teachers and the priests and the nuns and the brothers to teach the children of hope. I think that's really where we have to go. We have to go back to hope, the virtue of hope, the virtue of hope, and ultimately to the virtue of charity. We recognize all the sins, but until we really get on our knees once again and say we're sorry, that's really, it seems to me, the answer.
Yeah, we have to be humbled. We have to be humbled. I think we have a caller. Hello, caller.
Hello, Juliana. Hello, Tom. I just wanted to get back to this issue at my alma mater, which is Boston College. Now, Boston College is a Catholic institution. We spent a lot of money to go there to get a Catholic education. So it's really disappointing to me that they're starting this, you know, we brought up the issue of the hijab. Is that the word, how you pronounce,
yes,
the hijab?
Yes.
So, you know, I understand. I think what's going on is it's almost misplaced mercy. You know, the presenting reason for this day is that, quote unquote, from the Muslim Brotherhood, it said, quote, a lot of people want a stereotype and say that Islam oppresses women and makes them cover their hair or something like that. So that's the reason why Boston College has this day where they want to be in solidarity, presumably because of these women who are wearing this and saying that they're really doing it of their own free will. But, you know, the other side of it was, I was just reading this article by someone named Robert Spencer, and he tells it, you know, Boston College, the fine Catholic institution, holding this commemorative service, but then he mentions a woman by the name of Aksa Parvez, whose Muslim father choked her to death with her hijab after she refused to wear it. And he's wondering, when will Boston College be celebrating her memory? And then he mentions someone named Amina Muse Ali, a Christian woman in Somalia. Muslims murdered because she wasn't wearing one. And then he mentions 40 women who were murdered in Iraq, your Iraqi Christian Relief, married in Iraq in 2007 because they didn't have the hijab on. And he also mentions Alia Asfar, whose Muslim cousin threatened to kill her and harm her family because she stopped wearing it in Britain. And Amira Hamid, whose face whippings in Sudan for refusing to wear the hijab. An Egyptian girl, Amira, who committed suicide after she was brutalized by her family for not wearing it. And he goes on and on and on and cites all of the brutality against women who refuse to wear this and set it aside. And I guess the question I have is, there's also something called admonish the sinner in the acts of mercy. And it's almost like we've forgotten that by we're misplaced mercy. I don't know if you agree with this, but it's almost like it's misplaced mercy, misplaced solidarity with those women. If they were honoring these women as children of God and saying we're all sisters and of God, it would be one thing. But to draw attention in a Catholic university for this, as if this is a good thing. I guess I'm throwing that out to you, Juliana. How do you come down on this issue?
For me, a woman should be free. If she chooses to wear this, let her wear it. If not, let her not. If I go back to the beginning of days of the revolution in Iran, I remember they came down hard on us Christians and as well as Muslims who did not follow this. There was a friend of mine, her mother was walking with her friend and both were wearing lipstick. This is early 1980s. And the woman, there used to be this group of security, if you will. They were women and they stopped their van. They rushed to these two Christian women and they offered this woman, my friend's mother, to this cotton to clean her lips, but she had her own napkin. So she used her napkin to clean her lips because it was against Sharia law to wear lipstick at the time. And then the other woman didn't have her napkin. She took the cotton ball and she wiped her lips, and her lips were cut open because they had put cracked glass in that cotton ball. So to me, all of these things that you see that the Muslims in America or the Muslim Brotherhood rather is trying to force out down our throat, that's really a very mellow, watered down Islam. The reality is there's female genital mutilation happening in Sudan and across Africa in the Muslim families. Honor killing happens there all the time. Here happens a lot, and it's not reported on. Women in Iran, if they are caught being adulterous, are stoned, even if they're innocent. But men don't come forward to declare the woman's innocence. She's stoned in small villages in Iran. So this is not cultural. This is religious, and it's happening all the time. And American women cannot, they must educate themselves on the reality of Islam and how women are treated in Islam before they fall for this watered-down Islam, Islamic form that Muslim Brotherhood is trying to push down our throat.
And I just wonder with these universities, if someone wanted to come into a school with a racist agenda, where are the university presidents? They would be saying, no, we can't allow this in our school. We're a Catholic school. We don't promote racism. But yet for this, to let something like this into a Catholic school without an opposing viewpoint, or to have someone such as yourself come in and be able to discuss it or to educate women. I mean, I think that's what the thing is that there's only, it seems to be one side of the story that's getting out there in the media today.
We're deathly afraid as Westerners to say anything wrong against Islam. We're deathly afraid. We're afraid of being scrutinized. We're afraid of being called Islamophobe. We're afraid of being alienated by our fellow Christians. Christo-Islam, I think, is the new term that a lot of Christians are starting to use, because a lot of Christians have become so comfortable with the values of Islam that are being taught here, and a lot of Muslim Christian women are converting to Islam. A lot of Christian women are marrying Arabs. This really is Western Islamic invasion of the West. Why do you think I'm not saying Crusaders did everything Crusaders did was kosher, because they committed a lot of atrocities, but why were they formed? They were formed for times like this. Pope Urban II brought these people together because King Alexius of Byzantine Empire asked him to come save them, exactly from what we see happening today in the Middle East. Unfortunately, it got out of hand and we lost several times during Crusader times. But if I'm not calling on for, I'm not calling for crusades, but we must educate ourselves.
Well, I'm just wondering about the female side of things. Now, where is Gloria Steinem? Where are the women?
The feminists, right?
Where are the feminist women who, you know, for my generation, spoke out about any kind of inequality as well they should have?
But they're not showing it. But they're not seeing it as inequality. They're seeing it as they're being modest. That's why they're covering their hair. They're not looking at it as they're being forced. And if they are not abiding by this, they're going to be killed. They're going to be imprisoned. They're going to be acid is going to be thrown at their faces. They're not looking at it that way because they're brainwashed. And you know what? And realistically, there's a lot of petrodollar. There's a lot of Saudi Arabian money floating in universities, and a lot of professors are bribed.
Well, I'd recommend that our listeners get behind their computers and start sending letters to people like Hillary Clinton, who proposed to be champions of women, and ask them what their position is on the genocide and the persecution that are going on to women simply because they're female. Are they going to come out and stand up for their sisters, as they claim to be, who are being persecuted this way in the Middle East?
There's that documentary earlier I talked about, Honor Diaries. You can, I believe, watch it on Netflix or purchase it on Amazon for 99 cents or somewhere. It's out there that you can view it. You can watch it, but you'll be horrified. I mean, they have some really good points there, but they have some really not so realistic points there as well. But it's an interesting and eye-opening documentary that you should view. It's called Honor Diaries. Tom, what do you think about this?
I'm just fascinated by the conversation.
Yeah, it's something that because a lot of Muslim women submit to it and they have been brainwashed, and when they talk about it, they romanticize the whole thing, and American women fall for it. Why do you think American women are joining ISIS or becoming brides to ISIS men? Because of feminism. Because feminists have so demasculinized men that men are not the strong, the breadwinners, the tigers, and women want that sort of a strong man out there. I believe there is a way that we can meet the balance. There has to be a balance. Extremes on either side is not good. And the only form of balance that can come in this particular case, Angela, is by educating ourselves to the truth. And then critically think about that.
Well said, Julie, and I can't add anything to that, really.
I think we, Voice of Nineveh is really not just the voice of persecuted Christians, but really human rights, wherever they're violated. Whether they're in Nigeria, whether they're in China, whether they're here, the women that are being brutalized. We cover different topics here. Don't you agree, Tom?
I agree.
Our number is 224-585-9734. Voice of Nineveh is a program that always welcomes your questions. Please visit our website, the website for my organization, the Iraqi Christian Relief Council, at victimsofisis.org, victimsofisis.org. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy is extremely critical. Please pray for the persecuted church, but let us not be passive. Prayers must lead to action. victimsofisis.org. Until next month, God bless all of you.
And have a safe trip wherever you're heading, Juliana.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, Tom.
You too. Thank you, Juliana.